Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Live Laughter Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, everybody.
Great. Now, Barbara, being that this is your series that you're doing, why don't you introduce the guest?
Okay. Thank you, Johnny. I will be happy to. Okay. This series is a very special series because it's dear to my heart. It's called The Playboy Playmate. How did you become a Playboy Playmate? The reason it's so special is because it's not just a playmate. It's not just an entertainer. These are my friends. And Devin DeVasquez is one of my most dear friends. In fact, I was in her wedding. What, Johnny?
Well, I wanted to say something, Johnny? Before you went on.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I wanted to say something before you went on. You know, I Thank know... You. That there may be some, I wanted to say something because I feel like I'm really glad that you're able to bring your friends on the show, and I want you to feel, and I want to make sure, I want you to understand that your friends have a place here. So if anybody, were to say otherwise, they don't understand what I'm trying to do. So I just wanted you to understand. Sorry to interrupt.
Why are you emphasizing on that? Who said that I could not have my friends on?
Well, I'm not going to say anybody in particular, but
just
I'm just going to say
Johnny.
That...
Just get it out what you want off your shoulders. Just please get it out.
What I'm trying to say is I'm really glad that you are bringing your friends on, and I'm really looking forward to meeting your friends. And, I see it as sort of like
you.
A restaurant. I mean, these are, you're more than welcome to bring your friends and give them a place at the table. So you go on. Move on with what you're saying.
Okay, thank you. I think what Johnny's getting at is that there were some people that were previously on the show that said, well, I don't want it to become a Playboy show. Well, but Johnny's take on it is Barbara is the co-host of our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness, and if she wants to bring her friends on, because they're amazing people that just so happen to be Playboy Playmates, then that will be fine. And that is a stereotype that we want to get away with, because a playmate, she's a wonderful person. She's an entrepreneur. She's a mom. She's a sister. She's a daughter. She's an aunt. She does so many wonderful things for the world. She's a human being. So it is discrimination when somebody says, well, we can have everybody on the show except for Playboy Playmates. Why? This is ridiculous. Is that what you were trying to get at, Johnny?
Yes. But I want to, but I'd like to say that, I'm glad that Devin, you're here. This is an open place for you. Okay. You're Barbara's friend, and I'm glad that you're here. All right? So you all
And we welcome you. Thank you. We welcome you as our friend and also as a Playboy Playmate. We're proud of it. So this certain Playboy Playmate, Devin DeVasquez, she is special. I always thought she was extra special because I'm not that much behind you as far as becoming a Playboy Playmate, but I do remember watching Star Search, and that was one of my favorite shows. And there was this most gorgeous brunette, and she had it. I mean, she knew how to model. She knew just the right pose. She knew how to express. And lo and behold, this woman won, and I was so ecstatic, and I was so happy. 10 years later, 5 years later, I became a playmate, and she was a playmate. And I said, you won Star Search. And I watched that. I mean, how wonderful is that? It's kind of like a surreal feeling. So, Devin,
well,
is extraordinary.
First of all, I want to say thank you for having me on your show and wanting to get have your listeners get to know me better. I think I'm a little bit more than just the Playboy Playmate Johnny. And I think all of us are unique and special. And it's for some reason it's the title Playboy Playmate conjures up a different fantasy in everybody's head of what they think that is. And like you said, Barbara, we're moms, we're sisters, we're people, we're flesh and blood. We're not just photos. We're not just photos. We are actually human beings. But yes,
right.
Playboy did discover me before I was a model and on Star Search. And Barbara, that's a compliment coming from you, because you're an amazing model. You're such a chameleon. I've always admired your modeling skills. You have a unique ability to just, you know, become a different person in front of the camera. And I always felt like that was part of acting. You're conveying different parts of you to the camera. And hopefully that exudes in your photos. And you are always an amazing model. So kudos to you, my Playmate sister. But yes, we are more than just the title, John.
Yes. So thank you, Devin.
Well, my apologies. Yeah, so all I was trying to say is that I wanted you to know that I understand that. It's just that I wanted you to be I hope I said what I said right. Does that make sense, Devin? Or
yes,
I think he was just trying to compliment you, Barbara. He was just trying to say, you know, you being his co-host and a Playboy Playmate, whatever that means to whoever's listening out there, that your friends, some of them happen to be Playboy Playmates, all had a place in this show for as far as he was concerned, because
that's what
he was
trying
to
say. I never said it was just that. I never said you were just that. It's funny because
no, but first, you know what, John? First impressions are lasting ones, and actually, if you think about it, it's the only thing. I mean, it's totally changed. The image of the Playboy Playmate has totally changed in the 21st century. Wouldn't you say, Barbara?
Right.
I mean, not anywhere near it was 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Every decade has been different. I actually interviewed Betty Page and was working and have still been working on a documentary about the pinup girl from the pinup girl's point of view, because it's always been men prejudging or having what they think a Playboy centerfold is, because yes, she was created by a man, Hugh Hefner. It was his fantasy of the girl next door, and we are girls next door. Somebody lives next door to us everywhere. Every girl out there that is living next door to somebody right now.
What I always thought was kind of fun, kind of nice, is that Barbara is sort of, you're happy when you see her, but she's believable. Now, the reason I say that is, and she's going to laugh when I say this, but whenever I think of Barbara, I think of the movie Something About Mary. And I think of Mary from Something About Mary.
That's actually a compliment, Barbara. That's a compliment.
And it's like, haven't you ever noticed that every time that they show a gorgeous woman in the movie, they always portray her as not having the personality of a carrot? it's always done with the person with the intent of, yeah, this woman's really, really gorgeous. Of course she doesn't have anything inside. But then you meet, like, so you're not married. You meet this woman who's just not only really, really gorgeous, but intelligent. And it's like,
well,
okay, wait a minute.
That's part of the reason, John, that I wanted to produce, which I am producing now, movies and television, rather than being in front of the camera, because I got so tired as an actress. I thought I had a lot of range as an actress. I played a virgin in my first movie, House 2, and then I played the high school slut as Iris the Virus in Can't Buy Me Love. So you see, I had a lot of range. I went from the virgin to the high school the high school slot, right? But it was all based on how I looked. I got roles based on how I looked, and back then this was pre Jennifer Lopez and Salma Hayek and all that. You just didn't see a lot of exotic women, especially on television or in film.
Yeah, I can tell you, there's a couple of. Sorry. Go on.
Yeah, and
no,
Barbara dying. being the Barbie doll blonde, you just automatically thought, you know, okay, but she can't be that good looking and have a brain too. That's just too much.
That is why I'm doing this, because I want to show the listeners that we have so much more to us than the outside look. And I thought it was important to do this series, to dive very deep into the playmate's psyche and the mentality and her life.
You know, that would take more than an hour. That would take more than an hour, Barbara. You're going a little too deep for them. They cannot comprehend. Okay.
People. Devin. Okay. I never even got done doing my introduction. Devin, to me, she's special because we became so close. And I'm going to pat myself on the back because I did something good. I introduced her to her husband, and they've been married many years now?
We've been married for 10 years and together 15.
And so happy still.
That is like a lifetime in Hollywood. That's like, you may as well say you've been together for 50 years, because that's 50 years in Hollywood years.
But if anybody could do it, it would be you, because your demeanor, she's so open. She's so easy. She's able to handle any situation. So tough when you marry in, when people have children, especially.
When I got married, I was in my 40s and he was in his 50s, and it was his actual third marriage. And he had two little girls, 5 and 10. So I came on as stepmom. So, you know, playboy, playmate, stepmom to two little girls who were daddy's little girls. And that was
to Ron Moss.
Not the easiest.
To Ron Moss, you guys. And I'm sure a lot of you know that he played Ridge, an iconic character on The Bold and the Beautiful for, 35 years? 25 years. He was the face of this. And people named their children after the character Ridge. And he is such a big time. But when you got together with Ron, you looked outside of the box. He wasn't quite happy that 25 years on the same show. He has so much more to offer. He is in the band player, which everybody knows. Hello, baby, come back. That's all we have to say. And then you know the band, right? And she said he loves music. He's a total musician by heart. Still jamming out.
He was a musician way before he was an actor. And most people are just finding that out now because he was on the show for so long. And he was such a sex symbol on that show. I mean, he was a serial groom. He married his stepmother 7 times on the show, and it became this international phenomenon. But yes, we have been married now 3 times in the last 10 years. We just renewed our vows this year in Calabria. So I do owe this to you, Barbara. You and Lorenzo at the time were getting married, and I was going to be in your wedding, and then you ended up in my wedding. That was just a soap opera right there. We were destined to be in each other's wedding.
And I was in your wedding. I know. And people think playmates might be at each other's throats and jealous. There's
well, some
none
of us
that.
Are. We're not all perfect, okay. and we have definitely been around and grown around a lot of these girls. We've seen each other grow up, so to speak, at the mansion for holidays and all, and
a major sisterhood.
We're like a sister. Yeah, we're like what do you call it?
Sorority,
right. Very unique sorority.
Okay, so we'll get back into the Ron Moss and the Ross, Moss Manor. That's what you call your home. Gorgeous, beautiful, huge mansion they live in. They're hardly even there because they're traveling all over Australia and Europe. So this is my first question to you, Devin. How did you become a playmate?
How did I become a Playboy playmate? Well, I think every girl's story is different. It was definitely not something I aspired to do. I was extremely shy and withdrawn as a girl because I grew up in and out of foster homes. And I was 17 when Playboy discovered me because I graduated a year early from high school. So I was in college at LSU when Playboy was scouting, looking for girls of their Southeastern Conference issue. They used to have these.
Who was the scouter? Was it David Meese?
David Chan.
Okay.
David Chan was the scout. He was this little Chinese guy with a little Lhasa Apso. He wasn't intimidating or anything, but I was still 17 years old, and they just assumed I was 18 because I was a freshman in college. And the way I ended up auditioning was kind of strange because they took out an ad in the school newspaper, a real big bunny, saying Playboy is looking for girls for the Southeastern Conference. And a lot of girls on campus were curious. Some girls had aspirations to be in Playboy. With whatever reasoning, there were long lines to see David Chan and to see what this was all about. It was on the news. All the girls were curious about it, and Playboy had
what
never
city?
Baton Rouge. That's where I'm from.
Okay.
So they had never come that far south before. Playboy would go to Florida. A lot of playmates have come out of Florida, out of Texas, but very few playmates had come out of Louisiana because Louisiana was the Deep South. And in the Deep South, it's right. And you were either Catholic or Baptist. And, good Southern girls they just didn't take their clothes off and pose for Playboy. So like Betty Page being from Tennessee, she did it at a time where it was very, very controversial in the 50s. I was in the mid-80s, and by the mid-80s, this was during the time that Hef had a stroke. He had just had a stroke and recovered when my issue came out. But when I auditioned for Playboy, getting back to that story because it's kind of a funny story, I went with another girl that was in one of my classes, and she was like, let's go see what this Playboy thing is all about. And I'm 17. I've never even seen a Playboy magazine because I wasn't looking at Playboy. I couldn't buy a Playboy. I'm 17. You know, I'm fresh out of high school, and this was all very. I don't even know what Playboy is, really. So
really?
I go.
So what about
with,
your
yeah,
dad's
I didn't.
House?
I did, at that
your dad
time.
Didn't have
at that,
any?
At that no, because I grew up. I grew up in and out of. I grew up in and out of foster homes, so I didn't have your traditional situation growing up. So I didn't know anything about Playboy, and when we went, we had to. The David Chan just gave you a questionnaire, and gave you a swimsuit, and said, you know, put this on, and he takes photos, and you fill out a little questionnaire, and that was it. That was the audition. Nobody was asking
what city
you to
was
take
that?
Off your clothes.
Was that Playboy Chicago? Okay.
No.
I'm
telling you how I became a playmate. This is the beginning of the story. We have an hour, Barbara. You want to hear the story? Because
yes.
We have time
yes,
here.
Ma'am.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
so I was only 17, and I went with this girl out of curiosity, was given a swimsuit, was given the questionnaire, and I said, oh, I'm not trying out. You know, I was just there with her, and David handed me a questionnaire to fill out and the swimsuit. So I put the swimsuit on. I filled out the questionnaire. I didn't think anything of it. A couple of months later, I get this call, and they said, you are one of five girls we selected to be in our Girls of the SEC pictorial. And they were paying according to what you would agree to do. By this time, I needed to see a Playboy. So I went to my girlfriend, who was 8 years older than me, and she was like a big sister. And I said, I don't know what to do. They're asking me to be in this magazine, and I've never even seen the magazine. Can you buy one for me? So she bought the magazine. I looked at it, and I think the first Playmate I ever saw was Lorraine Michaels. I remember she had the she was in the rain or something, and I looked at her pictorial and I thought, oh my God, they want me to do something like this? Like, I couldn't even believe it. And when I saw the Playboy and I realized I was basically gonna take just one photo for the magazine, for this little pictorial, and they were gonna pay me according to what I chose to do. If you took off your top, you got paid more than if you didn't take off anything. And if you took off all your clothes, you got paid more for taking off all your clothes. Well, at the time, I was working two jobs and putting myself through college. And the money, I was thinking, wow, this would pay for a whole semester of college. So I wasn't thinking of it in terms of I want to be a model or an actress. I was thinking of it in terms of I could use this money and not work two jobs and go for a whole semester to college. So I made up my mind to do topless. I didn't have the courage to take off all my clothes, but the David Chan said I had boobs like a Playmate, and he wanted to know if I would choose to do topless. So I chose to do topless. And the first time I took off my clothes was for Playboy, for that pictorial. And when he was shooting me, he still didn't know I was 17. He just assumed I was 18. I think it was because of me that they made it so you had to show your ID later. They had to make sure you were 18. Because once he shot me, I remember they shot me at this plantation, the same pose for the whole day. And after the shoot, David and the makeup artist, I remember she went to sleep and the lighting guy was reading a magazine. They, you know, they seemed bored because nobody cared that I was topless after several hours of being topless. And after the shoot, David said, "Bar and have a drink." And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't drink. I'm not 18. and they freaked out. They shot me all day long thinking I was 18, and they realized I wasn't 18, and so they were like, oh, we need a guardian signature. I'm like, I don't have my parents. I don't have a guardian. So they didn't know what to do. And it worked out that the issue came out 2 months after my 18th birthday. So it was October 81. And when he was shooting me, he said, you have boobs like a Playmate. And I said, how much do you guys pay Playmates? And he goes, $15,000, but you have to take off all your clothes. And I wasn't ready to do
that.
That's
not very much.
That was in 1981. Okay. So that's what they were paying Playmates then, $15,000. Later they went to 20, I think. And before that it was 10. But at that time it was $15,000. And $15,000 for me was like, wow, I could really finish my college if I posed for Playboy. So I was still thinking along the lines of, I want to do this to put myself through college. But I didn't have the courage to take off all my clothes at that time. So a couple of years went by. So I'm 19 by this time. And I called David Chan up and I said, do you remember me from Baton Rouge? He says, oh yeah, I remember you. What do you look like? Cause I'm like, I think I want to be a Playmate. And he says, well, what do you look like now? And I said, oh, I look the same. And he says, well, I need you to send me some photos. And I'm like, oh, I can't take any nude pictures for anybody else. And he goes,
right.
Well, can you take some in lingerie and send to me? So I got a local photographer to take pictures of me in lingerie. I sent them to Playboy. And David said, you know, the editors need to see you in person. Do you think you can come to Chicago? And I said, well, I didn't have the money. I didn't really have money for a plane ticket. And David said, you know what? I believe in you. I'm going to send you a ticket. And when you test for Playboy, when you become a Playmate, you can pay me back. And he brought me to Chicago. I met the editors, and they started testing me for Playmates. And they weren't sure about me at first, Barbara, because it was mainly blondes in the magazine. You really didn't see very many exotic women in the magazine. But
really? Because I just never believed in that, Devin. I never believed
in
that.
In 1982, 82, 83, if you go back and look, it wasn't until 1984, which had Karen Velez as Playmate, who became Playmate of the Year in 1985, and Roberta Vasquez in November of 84. And it was also during that time of Fame, Flashdance, and Purple Rain. And that was part of the reason why they picked me, is because they thought I looked like Apollonia. I kept getting compared to Apollonia, Jennifer Beals, because
that
was that era.
You were actually dating Prince.
But that wasn't until, that's another story. And that was after Playboy. So and it was because of Playboy that I met Prince, because we were trying to get a photo, because they thought, oh, Playmates and rock stars go hand in hand. He'll for sure want to do a picture with you. And turns out he didn't like to take pictures that's a whole nother story. Would take me an hour to tell you, and that's why I wrote a book about it. So I'm not going to tell you that whole story.
Okay.
But
segue to your book.
Yeah.
How could we find the book, though?
the book is on in Barnes and Noble and Amazon. It's called The Day It Snowed in April, and I wrote all about my life, and my time with Prince. It was inspired when he passed away in 2016.
A very good read, and I was at your event, your book launching and everything. But hold on,
oh, yeah,
I want to get
right.
back that I was there.
So
let's get
so
back to
become,
the little 17-year-old who is facing Playboy with all these questions. You ask
right.
a million questions. Then you said, okay, I'm going to do it. Then what happened?
I'm going to do it. I go to Chicago. I test for Playboy in late 1983. I get approved in 84. And they decide to put me in the 85 issue because they already had Roberta Vasquez and Karen Velez. And they thought, oh, we can't have Roberta Vasquez, Velez, and the Vasquez. It's too much for one year.
Similar.
So they had
similar
right.
Name.
They had those two already shot in 84. So they saved me for 85. And that's why I was in the June issue of 85. But Karen Velez ended up being Playmate of the Year. So they moved, it was the only year, my year, that they moved the Playmate of the Year issue to May because they didn't want DeVasquez and Velez in the same issue. She would have been on the cover. I would have been the centerfold. And so they changed it that year and they put her, the Playmate of the Year issue, in May.
Why did they not want you together?
Because I think they thought the names were too similar. Vasquez,
really?
I mean DeVasquez, Velez, and
yeah.
This was pre. You got to remember, this was pre Jennifer Lopez. In today's world, nobody would care. But back then,
right.
It was a different world. It's like you
yes.
didn't see a Hispanic name like Velez, DeVasquez. Or Vasquez in the same issue. It was just too much. So if
that
you
makes
look
sense.
At the history,
so what happened? So what happened?
So
because
became,
they used to
I
put the Playmate of the Year on the cover, right? They used to
right,
put
and
them
they,
on the
but,
cover.
Exactly. So Karen Velez was on the cover of the May issue, 1985, that had a blonde Playmate in the centerfold, Kathy Schauer. And I was in the June issue, and it was the Roxanne Pulitzer who was on the cover. She was a celebrity person that was political, controversial or something, and she was on the cover because she had a pictorial that month. But my issue was supposed to be the Playmate of the Year issue, and it got changed that year because of the name.
So why
and,
would you want to be a centerfold in the Playmate of the Year issue? Why? It sells more copies? Is that why?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's always been the December issue, the January issue being an anniversary issue for Playboy, and then the Playmate of the Year issue was always those were the three best months to be in Playboy, June, December, or January.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. When you are a fresh new Playmate, aren't is about the Playboy Playmate of the Month? I never even knew Playmate of the Year thing even existed. I was so grateful and happy to be a Playmate, and I think that is super special and just as good.
Well, that's
so,
how I felt. I felt like it
good.
Age 17 to 21, by the time I became a Playmate, that was the most important thing to me at that time. It had been quite a journey, and I made it, and it was a big deal for me. And then shortly after that, I auditioned for Star Search in Chicago because I was a model in Chicago, and I ended up on the show, but I couldn't do the show at the time. They wanted me to do the show because I was booked for Playboy. and I sent flowers to the producer to keep me in mind for the next season. And one of the girls that were scheduled for that season had a death in her family and had to drop out. And because I sent those flowers, they had me take her place. And I went and won the whole $100,000. And then I was featured in Playboy
again
in November of 1986 in a celebrity pictorial where I had my name on the cover and was on the cover. And that was a big deal. I remember Half saying, congratulations. They were very proud of my Star Search win. And I remember thinking, I can't even believe he knew my name, because he was like, Devin, we're all very proud of you here at Playboy. And I was thanks, Mr. Hefner.
I have a question about there being like a sister. And it's actually kind of funny because one of the first Playboy Playmates that I interviewed on this show was Terry Lynn Doss. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that name.
Yes, I modeled with Terry in Hawaii.
And the funny thing is that I tease Terry Lynn Doss because, you know, Terry Lynn Doss reminds me of Farrah Fawcett. The voice is exactly like, first of all, she kind of has every all of her poses of her laying on the ground with her head back. And also, every time she talks, she sounds like Farrah Fawcett. Hi, Johnny, how are you? You know, that's how she sounds. And she said that when she was going to be a playmate, she says that she was there with you and you had your issue, I believe. And she was, yes, Devin DeVasquez, do you remember anything like that? Or
she mentioned her.
I modeled with her before she was a play. I was already a playmate when I modeled with her in Hawaii in a swimwear illustrated modeling job. I think Terry was after me. She was in 86 or 87, right? 86.
I don't know what year. She's very, very Farrah Fawcett.
But that's so sweet. That's really cool that she mentioned Devin.
Yeah.
Devin is an icon. She's, you know what? She's like a nurturer. She's one of those that is a leader that brings all the playmates together. She came up with this recent idea to have the first Playmate Valentine's Luncheon to start a new tradition, you know, and we did it. And whoever showed up, we did it. And
I kind of felt like it's been a couple of years since, you know, we lost Hef and we don't have the mansion, and a lot of us have seen each other for all kinds of holidays like 4th of July and Easter and New Year's Eve and Midsummer. And I mean, you know, we just didn't have that anymore. And I felt like a lot of the girls were missing each other and missing seeing each other. And I just wanted to kind of give an excuse to bring us all together and say, life is too short. We need to stay in touch because we're a special group of girls. And, you know, we're sisters.
And it was wonderful. And even though it was a little get-together this time, it doesn't matter. You instilled it. It's done. And we are going to do it every single year. It's something that can grow. But this is Devin. She's an entrepreneur. She thinks of ideas. She does it. She makes it happen. And you know what? I'm always there for her because I'm one of her closest friends. There's a lot of playmates out there. We all love each other and it is a sisterhood, but may not be so close, but they will understand that this is going to happen every year. And I know, don't you, Devin, that it's going to grow and grow and grow. And I think it's so important.
Well, I hope so.
It was just
spreading some love. And hopefully, you know, it's something that you carry the torch. You can carry the torch next year, Barbara, or maybe Renee will do it, or Monique will do it, or somebody else will go, hey, let's do that again. That was fun. And just try to, you know, be there for each other. That's all that was.
Right. I think Renee wanted to do it, but I will help her. You know, I'm in the area, and I'll help. Yeah, so I'll help her. So let's change the tune a little bit here. I want to get into Devin's mind. So, okay, here's your day. You're going to show up at the Playboy Studios, and you're going to start your first day of the first time you ever posed nude. Now, tell us, bring us back to that day. How did that feel?
I think, you mean once I became a playmate, I'm kind of lost.
No. Not once you became a playmate, because when we used to shoot, we didn't know if we were going to be a playmate. We had to shoot it, our centerfold, for like 5 days, and then have to say yes, no, yes, no. So when you're shooting it, how did you feel posing nude for the first time?
When they shot the centerfold first, and then they would do what they called your small camera, and I shot in Chicago. I think I was one of the last playmates they shot in Chicago, because my year was the last year that you still had staples. Remember when you had staples and then it went from not having staples anymore? You could just pull the centerfold out. Well, I still had staples, and I think I was one of the last playmates they shot in Chicago, because I was shot there. And because I'm from Louisiana, I never could, this is why I left Chicago. I love Chicago, but I could never get used to the winters there. I was always sick. So believe it or not, when they shot my centerfold, and you can see it in my centerfold, my eyes looked watery. I was sick. I was so sick. They were giving me Vicks Formula 44 cough medicine to drink through a straw on the set because we were trying to get through my shoot. So I shot my centerfold in 1 day. I shot 1 day. They made a mock bayou. They made it look like I was biking in the bayou. That was my. You had a great centerfold. You were like in a mulch shot. They did it in the studio where they kind of made it look like I had an antique bike and I was biking naked in the bayou. This was my thing. So they
That's
had
funny.
It look like I was in the bayou, and we were shooting it in the studio. And of course, you know, they spend all this money on a set. I think at the time they spent like $50,000 on that set. So here they were finally ready to shoot me, and I was as sick as a dog. I was so sick. And my eyes were watery. I'm coughing. I'm stuffy. I'm thinking I look like hell. There's no way I'm going to make it as a playmate. How can they want to shoot me? I have to get better. And I remember my editor was Michael. Her name was Michael Ann Sullivan. I don't know if you ever remember her.
I know her.
And so she was like, oh, honey, you'll be fine. You look beautiful. And they were shooting me, and I was feeling like shit. So when you asked me, how did you feel? I felt like shit. And I was like, and they sent
You didn't even
me
care.
Home.
Okay.
No,
I'm
they sent they sent
down
me home
totally
they,
nude. Topless,
no, because,
bottomless, I'm totally
no,
nude,
they,
and you didn't even care if you had the flu.
Barbara, you know how they shot with that 8x10 camera? They shot it, they looked at it, and they said, we think we got the centerfold, honey. Will you just go home and rest?
Wow.
And I'm thinking,
in one
I'm
day?
Thinking, no. They're just sending me home because I'm not going to make it now. I was like so miserable. And so I went home to rest. And about, I don't know, 2 weeks later, I got a call, and they said Hef picked it, and I was going to be Miss June. So
wow.
I was like shocked. I thought, oh, my God, they got to shoot this over. And so every time I look at my centerfold, I hate it because you can see in my eyes they look really watery because I was so sick.
You're probably the only one who noticed. Oh.
So, but
Devin, you were shooting this in Chicago, correct?
Shooting in Chicago, feeling like shit, yeah.
Did you ever think back then, okay, if this takes off and I'm popular and so much, the world is my oyster, then I'm going to move to Chicago or L.A.?
I was an aspiring model. I wanted to be a model. I didn't think anything about acting. In fact, I didn't want to move to L.A., and I remember David Chan saying, you're going to have to move to L.A. All the Playmates go to L.A. if you want a career. And I didn't want to move to L.A. because I knew I would have to get a car, and I hate driving. I hate driving. I loved Chicago because I could take, you know, public transportation everywhere, and it was so easy getting around, and I didn't need a car. But when I moved to L.A., I had to get a car, and I had to start driving and driving on the freeway, and I avoided it. But Star Search kind of forced me to move to L.A. because I was going back and forth. I was still living in Chicago when I was on the show, and when I won the $100,000, I said, well, I can buy myself a car, so I guess I'll move to L.A. I moved to L.A. for the weather, like everybody else.
Thank you, Curdy. I'm sorry for the interruption. He's trying to tell me I have food here. Okay. I'd like to know, though. Okay. When I was starting out as a Playboy Playmate, I purposely did not call the Chicago office because I was worried, okay, if I become a Playmate there and I'm okay in Chicago, am I going to have to live in that area? And I always wanted to live in the West. Beverly Hills. Were you thinking?
You are lucky, Barbara. That's why your centerfold looks so great, because the girls that were shot in L.A., I think there's, you know, you had Marilyn Grabowski. You had the best.
Yeah.
I think the girls that were shot in L.A. had the best centerfold.
And you had Gary.
Did you ever work with Alexis Vogel?
I did. I worked with Alexis. I loved Alexis. I miss Alexis. But I did not work with her professionally. She did my makeup for one of my birthday parties.
The reason it was a private situation. The reason I'm asking is we did one of the things we're doing on the show, we're going to do this in the future, is we're going to have a bunch of, it's an idea that me and Barbara are talking about. You know the idea we're talking about, right, Barbara?
Yes, well, we did a tribute to Alexis Vogel, and we had 8 Playmates on to talk about it, but I would have had Devin on, but she was traveling abroad.
I was in Europe.
Belgium and Italy.
Yeah, but we're going to do another one probably for Hugh Hefner, and it's just, you know,
awesome.
That's the idea that we're talking about.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
So,
John, we'll talk to her about that at another time. I need to get back to Devin because we don't have very much time. And I have some important questions.
My apologies.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we've established how that worked out for you with testing. Everybody's different, and it's so exciting to hear each individual Playmate story about how they became a Playmate.
I think they tested me and they picked me because of my Louisiana roots and the fact that they didn't have that many Louisiana Playmates, and the fact that my look was more becoming more in during that period in time. It was just timing for me. I don't think I was,
Looking at your face, Devin, I was looking at your face, and I'm into modeling so much in aesthetics and how photogenic people are. I find this very interesting, and you have this chiseled face. It's like a not quite square, but the jawline, the forehead, the perfect eye position. You actually have the most perfect aesthetically a desired face, the way it's structured. Absolutely beautiful. So do not tell me.
Sweet. I don't
Hey, Devin, I will not accept that you were chosen because your name was similar to somebody and they had to put you here or there.
They didn't put me in 1984 because of that, but that has nothing to do with why they chose me. I think they chose all of us for the same reasons.
You're the whole package.
You had to have the whole package. You had to have the boobs. First, the boobs were more important than anything, and you had to be photogenic. I used to help scout for Playmates, so I know. Yeah. Anyways, those were the good old days. It's hard to believe it's been 35 years since I was a Playmate. This June will be 35 years. So you're asking me to remember all these
experience. Things. Devin, we have 10, 15 minutes left. Okay. Yes. I would like to know, what have you been doing now? Hello, broad question.
Oh, yeah. Well, what have
Let me start
I've been
off
doing
with
now?
Devin, hold on. Devin, mm-hmm. you're an Emmy mm-hmm. Award winner as a producer now. Four times.
Yes. Four times.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. The show The Bay, the series, is on Amazon Prime. I am one of the producers on the show. In fact, I helped produce one of their first shoots abroad over in Belgium a couple of years ago. We're in our sixth season. We're in season five now. And we have four Emmys as Best Daytime Digital Drama. So it was we were the first show to win Best Digital Drama Series, and we've won 4 years in a row.
Digital dramas are out there?
Oh my God, so many now. I can't give you a number of that. They're popping up all over the place now. I'm producing movies now. We're going to produce our first movie, a romantic comedy, in Puglia, Italy, in September, starring my husband. I prefer being behind the scenes, but I may go back to acting in cameos here or there. It's not really my passion. My passion is more writing and producing. I've always preferred being the entrepreneur. So I have written four books. My latest book is The Day It Snowed in April, which is really inspired by Prince, and that was primarily about my life. I wrote a book called True Age Timeless Beauty, and I'm working on True Wisdom Timeless Spirit, which is more about True Age Timeless Beauty is really about keeping your life, getting your life in balance in all areas of life. It's more of a spiritual book on just getting life in balance and manifesting what you want. And True Wisdom Timeless Spirit is more about keeping your life in balance with all the things life throws at you. I'm going to give that book away for free. I want to try to help people keep their lives in balance because I feel like we have so much imbalance in life today. So like if I can be a ripple in a pond, like with the Valentine luncheon, and start something that continues and brings love or positivity or balance, then we're doing something to help our planet as a whole. And so those are the types of books I like to write. I like to write metaphysical, spiritual books, and I try to use my own life experience and parlay that to you in a very simple way, so that if I can do it, and I'm living proof, I came from a horrible childhood with, you know, nothing, and I made something out of my life. If I can do that, then you can too. So if you can have success in every area of life, including your love life, you know, haven't you known people who are very, very successful, and then they're so unsuccessful in love? Or you know someone who's successful in love and yet they never have any money? You know, that means they're out of balance. And when when you get your life in balance, then life, you're a happier person when you're doing the things you love and you're loving what you do and you're surrounding yourself with people that you really respect and care about, and you're living your authentic life, then you're gonna be a positive magnet for other people around you, and that's just gonna spread like a ripple in a pond. So that's kind of what I do. I write, I produce, I try to live life to the fullest, and I try to give back, and I'm always in gratitude for each and every day. No, I don't take anything for granted.
Wow, that's a wonderful statement and way to live by. I have one last question, Kevin.
Okay.
What do you think that your life would be like if you did not get the title Playboy Playmate?
I have often said I would have probably have gotten married and had about 4 or 5 kids right out of high school if that didn't happen, because that's what girls did back then. They got married. So many of my friends from high school are now grandmothers because they got married so young. They just got married and started a family because
that's what the high school friends. I mean, for a while I wasn't, but then now they're coming around and they like me again. They like me.
Well, yeah, because you had to get a little bit. You couldn't be all that in a bag of chips. You had to have, you know, a little bit of age on you for them to not hate you so much.
Isn't that interesting? So you have felt that too?
Yeah. I'm pretty much a loner because of it. I don't hang with anybody. I have a lot of friends, but I really don't. I'm too busy, and I'm too busy enjoying life. I don't really have time to waste.
Devin, don't you think
that
how blessed we are to be Playmate Sisters with a very great group of girls, ladies, who understand
that. We were blessed to be at that moment in time, yes, because things are so different. So
I truly believe that as well. And that is
such a
perk, and that's a highlight of life that it's special. And that's why I'm doing the Playboy Playmate series and how we became a Playmate, which leads into all of our other details of our life, which we haven't even tapped. We tapped like 1% of Devin's life, which we would love to have you back on to elaborate. But I mean, this was interesting. This was so interesting.
There's so much to talk about, and 1 hour is not enough time to dive into almost 57 years of one's life here. So you have to have a little more time.
I know, but it's a start, and it was wonderful, and we're so glad to have had you on. And what's going on now? You're going to go to
I'm heading to Belgium and Italy. I leave at the end of this week for Belgium and Italy, and I'll be gone for 3 months. And then I'm back.
How wonderful. And you travel with your wonderful partner, your husband, Ron Moss. Tell us a little bit about Ron Moss. Who's your husband?
Oh, no. You've already talked about him, and he's a unique man. I don't know. I can't sum that up in 1 minute because we only have about 1 minute left here. right? You know what?
Well, we're not going to be cut off. We can go a little longer.
No. I really have to go,
I have
you guys.
To go.
So
me too.
I can't.
I gotta catch a train.
Longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want you
to say goodbye.
Okay. Excuse me. I did not want to say, oh, his resume. I wanted you to say, Ron. He's such the most easygoing, soft, sweet, calm demeanor. How wonderful to have a husband like that. Loves you. Brings you your cappuccino every day in bed. And, you know, I mean, wow. They should all learn from Ron.
You have to train him. You have to train him to do that. I have to train him to do that. That's for sure. I have to, I have to go because I'm sorry, but I have to go now because I have to give the band some news here.
Devin, before you go, how could people find you? What's the best way for people to find Devin and follow you? What is the best way for people?
Instagram.
What's your handle?
Devin DeVasquez.
Follow Devin on her Instagram.
Yes.
And you're going to be able to listen to this show and find all of our other shows on Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube. So go on there and don't forget to subscribe and listen to this again and choose from all of our other shows. And we just thank you from the bottom of our heart, Devin, for coming on. You're a busy woman and you have a lot going on.
Thank you. You guys have a great evening, okay?
Okay, we love you, Devin, and thank you for coming on. And wonderful.
All right, well, thank you.
Show.
Well, good night, everyone. Good night, Devin, and good night, Barbara.
Hey, Johnny, let
her
go. May I do the shout out, please?
Okay, go ahead.
Bye bye, you guys.
Bye, Devin. Thank you so much. Okay, everybody, thank you for listening. And how wonderful was this show, Johnny?
It was great.
Yeah. I love Devin. She's one of my best friends. I was fortunate enough to be chosen as one of her bridesmaids. I introduced her to her husband, and they've been married for 15 years, and they're so happy. And that brings so much joy to my heart. And I wish them well on their travels to Belgium. I'll be gone for 3 months, and he sings, and he has concerts, and they're quite an amazing couple, and I'm so happy for them. So, what's next, Johnny? Who do we have next for our Playboy Playmate series?
Oh, I don't know. That's your call. You were setting that up.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a surprise, and we'll be doing that next week. So tune in for that. Okay. And tomorrow, what do we have for tomorrow, Johnny?
Oh, we don't have anything.
But, on Monday?
On
Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday we don't have anything. But we'll come up with something, I'm sure. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so when you log on to our Facebook Life, Laughter, Happiness page, we'll post it there, what's going to be on for tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific time. 8 p.m. Eastern. And this is so fun. And I can't wait to have more callers and who want to ask questions of the Playmates. And there's burning questions out there, aren't there, Johnny?
Mm-hmm.
For the Playmates.
This is really burning, yeah. A lot of people do want to know that. I mean, I love the different stories, you know. So it's really great.
It's so interesting.
You're doing it. Well, thank you for coming on. And are you getting
come by our
yet,
Twitter, or? Our Instagram, and our Facebook page, Life, Laughter, Happiness. We've revamped it. We have new photos. We have a new direction. We're totally excited for 2020. And we appreciate all of you listeners. And we're grateful and thank you so much for tuning in as usual. And we love you. I'm going from Mexico to Huntington Beach right now.
Well, good night, everyone. Good night, Barbara.
Good night, Johnny. Thank you, Devin.